I want to talk to you this morning about why our prayers are ineffective. So what we're going to deal with this morning is when God says no, and what hinders our prayers. Okay? So have that in mind, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll dig into the Scriptures. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are an awesome God. Your name is to be revered here and everywhere. There is no God like you. And when we approach you, Lord, it's so awesome that you have given us freedom to do that in boldness. To approach your throne, and that you have removed our filth and put on righteous robes on us so that we can approach you in and through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the mediator of our faith. As we think through prayer and then pray, and Lord, we pray for your blessing in it because we want to bring you glory. We want to exalt you. We don't want things to stand in the way for our prayers to be hindered. We don't want to be ineffective and unproductive in our faith. Nor do we want to be full of show. In humility, Lord, we pray that the truth in our relationship with you would shine, the truth of Jesus and the sincerity of our hearts because of your saving grace. And so, Lord, would you please bless each one here this morning in growing in a relationship with you? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we dig into prayer this morning, I have a bit of an odd place for us to look. If you turn your Bible to Leviticus chapter 18, there's an odd reference that if you've read through Leviticus, you may have gone, okay, I don't know what this means, but okay. Leviticus chapter 18 walks the Israelites through different statutes that the Lord has put together in order to exalt him and be holy. And in verse 19 it says, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness while she is in her menstrual uncleanness, and you shall not lie sexually with your neighbor's wife and so make yourself unclean with her. You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. You shall not lie with any animal and so make yourself unclean with it. Neither shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is perversion. Okay, so in the middle of that, this verse 21, you shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. It's easy to read by something like that and go, okay, what is that? I don't know. Oh, yeah, I'm thirsty. I'm going to go get a drink. And then you forget about it. Right? I want to bring this up this morning just briefly before we dive into the meat of our sermon. A lot of churches today have set aside the whole message for what is called Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I am going to talk about that, but we're going to dive back into prayer since that's where we've been. But this God, Molech, was not an Israelite God. Okay? There is one God in Israel. It's the God in heaven, right? Molech was the god of the Canaanites. One of them, anyway. And parents would be encouraged to offer their children up to sacrifice. And literally, their children would burn. Their children would be killed. And this is an abomination, and it's a horrible thing. Even those that are what people would call pro-choice today would likely think that this was an abomination, because this was a live baby, a live infant being offered as a sacrifice to this false god. And the purpose of it was they were doing that in order to make God happy. Now, what's really sad about this is that many times you'd think, okay, that makes sense that God puts a prohibition on this, right? But many times in Israel's history, they went back and they allowed this. Even though they knew the truth, even though they had been blessed by God personally, even though they were connected to their ancestors and they knew how God carried them through the wilderness, they not only allowed this to happen, but in some instances they actually set up this worship. And that shouldn't be. Why do I bring that up today? Well, a couple reasons. One reason is it is Sanctity of Life Sunday that has been set aside by a lot of people. I think we should always be praying for life. We should always be praying for the unborn. But right now, we're on the precipice of, with the Supreme Court in our country, and making some decisions regarding the life of babies. And I'm not about being political, but I am about being biblical. And this is not a political issue to me. This is a biblical issue. God loves people. He created people. People are created in the image of God. And because people are created in the image of God, nobody has the right to snuff out a life. Now, there are times that God has told people to kill, but God never tells people to murder. There's a difference between doing what God said in the Old Testament, defending His glory and purity and things, and fighting a war, versus the elimination of an innocent person. That's called murder. So I bring it up today for that reason. Connecting it with prayer, I would encourage you all to pray. And if this is something that you have not normally prayed for, I'd encourage you right now to spend some time in the next season of your life in prayer for life, for the innocent, for babies, and for the mothers, by the way, too. A lot of mothers, I'm not justifying any action, but a lot of times people feel like they're backed in a corner and they don't have a choice. They absolutely do have a choice, but they feel in their life like they don't. So, if you knew somebody in that spot, hopefully you wouldn't be the person that would just come down on somebody and tell them what they have to do, but you'd offer to help them to move forward. Right? So I bring it up for that reason as well. Too often, Christians can be unkind and not think about the whole scenario. That doesn't justify any bad action. But it does help us to have a heart of compassion, because everyone in this room and everyone who would ever hear this recording, everyone who has ever walked this earth apart from our Savior Jesus, has sinned. And sin is transgression of the law. And when somebody sins, they're doing something they shouldn't do. We've all done that. It's easy for us to judge people for doing things we haven't done. What I would encourage you, instead of being the judge, I'd encourage you to be a friend and point people to Jesus. Because he's the only one that's able to heal people, ultimately change people, and he is the one full of grace and forgiveness that would, if somebody came to him who's been through this, he can heal them, and not just a little, not just put some salve on it, but completely make them whole again. So, as we hear these kind of things in the news, and I know that many of you listen to the news, instead of sitting as judge, pray. Pray for the unborn. Pray for the parents. Pray for healing. Pray for healing in our nation. I was encouraged, you know, in a way, and this is still a horrible statistic, but abortions in our country are down quite a lot over the last 2 years because of COVID. And because of several states putting laws into place, either also making it more difficult, which I think is good and right. It shouldn't be a legal thing. Because it dishonors God. And it takes away his image, his image bearers, people. Amen? So pray with me regarding that issue. We'll put it in God's hands. All right. We'll put it in God's hands. And I would say very clearly to you, if you or somebody you know has been through this on the other end, where you have been the one who has given up a baby, there is healing and there's hope in Christ. It's not through counseling, it's not through psychology, and it's not through politics. It's through Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can give you healing and hope and totally forgive you. And I believe, I don't know, I'm not going to stand on this and say I know for certain, but I would say, based on what I do know about the character of our God and what I see in the Psalms, that the Lord isn't going to judge these innocent babies, that they're safe in his arms. That's up to him. He's the sovereign God. He's in charge. He knows what he's doing, and I trust in his mercy there. Amen. All right, this morning we are going to begin looking at prayer in Luke chapter 11. So if you turn there, and like I said earlier, we're going to talk about when God says no today, which is different than a prayer that's unanswered, by the way. Unanswered prayer maybe means that God just hasn't said yes yet. Because there are times that God says, we'll see later, right? Maybe now's not the time. I mean, how many people have prayed when they were young to be married and they felt like this is taking forever, right? And it didn't happen and it didn't happen and it didn't happen. And then all at once, God blessed them and said, okay, here you go. This is the one. So that's not a no. That's just not right now. But sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says no because he's got purposes that we don't see. I'm not going to really deal with that today. What I want us to deal with today are things that maybe we can do something about. When God says no for a reason. And so let's look here at Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. For what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Okay, so there's a number of things in here that I'd like to take a look at when we look at prayer and God saying no. First of all, when we go to God, it is too common that God is treated not like God, but he's treated like your BFF. That's your best friend forever, by the way, if you didn't know that. Now, God ought to be our best friend forever. And God is merciful. God understands that we are who we are, and we, in one way, have no idea who he is. We have an idea because of the Word. We have an idea because of the Spirit he plants within us. But we have no idea, in a way, because we've not seen him. And our finite minds have a really difficult idea wrapping around the idea of what an infinite, holy, powerful God is like. So I do believe he gives much grace as we approach him. I also believe it is important, as we approach God, we approach him with reverence, with a measure of understanding and fear, holy fear, right fear, right understanding of who he is. We don't approach God and say, "Yo, what up?" Right? We come to God, we approach God as our Father in heaven. You see, hallowed be thy name. Your name is holy. The ground around you is holy. I, on my own, am not worthy to approach you, God. It's only in and through Jesus Christ that I have access at all as a Gentile. And so, that's number one. When we come to God, we want to be reverent. Right? We want to understand who He is, who we're approaching. Now, Hebrews informs us and says, we approach His, the throne of grace with boldness. And we ought to do that as well. We don't run away from God. We come to God with boldness, but our boldness is not based on us. Not based on our power, our ability, our coolness, our spiritual scorecard. Hey, look what I did for you. Our approaching God with boldness is based on Christ. So we want to be reverent as we approach God. If you're a parent, I think you'll understand this. When your kids come up to you and they say, "Give me," what do you do inside? Right? Versus, "Hey, Dad, may I please?" Very different. Right? I'm not God, thank God. So maybe He doesn't have that reaction that I have. But as we approach God, let's be reverent. We don't want to be, "Give me, I deserve." Right? We don't want to have that attitude. Okay, second thing. It says, "Give us each day our daily bread." We're praying for needs when we pray. I've read too many books that talk about asking God for big requests. I don't think that's wrong if it's a spiritual thing, if it's not a selfish thing, right? Lord, save people for your glory. Draw people out of the pit of hell. I think that's a bold, good request to ask of God. But I bet you lots and lots and lots of prayers went up last night. "Lord, please let the Packers win." You know, Robbie Gould used to be a Bear. And you know, you don't like the Bears like we don't like the Bears. Right? He said no. He said no. Why did he say no? First of all, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. But he said no. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't in his will. It wasn't in his will. That was not something that God deemed would change the world for the glory, for His glory. It would be for the glory of Aaron Rodgers or the city of Green Bay or whatever. And, you know, just like somebody asked me recently about war. And specifically, you know, the Civil War, you had generals, the commanding generals on both sides of the Civil War were Christians. And they both knelt down and prayed to Jesus before they went into battle. So the question is, did God want one to win and didn't want the other one to win? Or do you think God wanted all those people to die like that? I don't think so. And so we pick our pet things, and some of them are little pet things, like a football game. Other things are big, big pet things like what side of the war we're on. And we say, well, because this matters to me, it must matter to God. And because I want this side to win, God must want this side to win. And I don't think we see things rightly from his perspective. And I don't know that we ever will this side of heaven. Because he has things in mind that we can't see. No, God didn't want people oppressed. God doesn't ever want people oppressed. He hates oppression. God loves freedom. But there's oppression of a different kind on the other side. I mean, and so we have to be careful what we ascribe to God. And we also have to be careful when we pray that we're praying for needs and we're praying for things in his will. If you want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. When we pray, we got to make sure we're not doing it from a selfish motive, from a one-sided motive. When we pray, and the prayer that God will bless is the one that's in his will. Now, please don't come up to me after the service today and say, so I prayed for so-and-so to live and they died, so was that his will for them to die? Please don't ask me that question. Since the fall, since Adam and Eve fell, we've all been afflicted with sin, and consequence of the fall, consequence is sin, and consequence of sin is death. And everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die in a different way, however God designs that. We know we can't add an hour to our life and we can't take it away. That doesn't mean we live recklessly and foolishly. We need to be responsible. God calls us to be responsible. But it's not about that. And God's got greater purposes than we can see. I can't say that enough, and you're going to hear me say it again. We don't know what he knows. We don't see what he sees. And there are reasons he does what he does that he doesn't owe us an account. All right, but when we pray, we need to make sure that what we're praying is in his will. We don't always know that it's in his will, but there are things we know that aren't, that sometimes we pray for. Like the outcome of a football game. That is not going to further the kingdom of God. That is, if we pray that, it's normally because we want to gloat. We want to feel good. And God's concerns are bigger than that. They're bigger than our feelings. Okay, verse 4 says, and this is back in Luke 11, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Well, that's big. That's huge. Forgiveness. God will not honor or answer your prayers when you won't forgive others. When you are full of anger, strife, hate, enmity. I'm not sure where the line is in the gray. Okay, so-and-so hurt me. Right? But I love them. Versus somebody hurt me and I don't know if I can ever forgive them. Somewhere in there, there's a shift, isn't there? I'm just being honest. Because these are real issues that we deal with. Right? I'm not talking about just pie in the sky stuff. I'm talking about the reality of life. We need to be people who are forgiving people. You don't need to forgive somebody who does you right. Oh, sure, I forgive you. Well, you didn't really do anything wrong. Right? It's easy to love somebody who loves you. It is. Somebody who blesses you and loves you and wants to flatter you and is an encouragement in your life, it's so easy to love them. It is very, very difficult to love somebody who hurts you on purpose. Even if it's on accident, but especially if it's on purpose. And there are people out there that will try to do that. And some of them do it because they're just, men love darkness. They're full of sin. And other times, people do it and they're ignorant about it. They don't even realize how offensive they are. Either way, it doesn't matter. We are called to forgive. We can't build these walls up. We can't say, nope, I'm not going to deal with it. Nope, I don't care what you say. That's not the heart of God. Aren't you glad that's not the heart of God towards you? Let me try that again. Aren't you glad that's not the heart of God toward you? Amen. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you blank that God has had to forgive you? Right? Seven times? Seven times 70? Right? More than you can count. And God isn't like that with you. And he says, because I'm not like that with you, be like your heavenly Father. Be gracious. Be forgiving. Being forgiving doesn't mean being ignorant, and it doesn't mean letting people walk all over you. If somebody had access to your bank account and they steal from you, you can forgive them and not give them access to your bank account. Right? God doesn't call you to be a fool. But he does call you to be a forgiver. If we don't forgive, our prayers are hindered, and the answer is no. Okay. This is a big one. And I'm guilty of this. I would propose to you that you probably are as well. We give up way too easy. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves? That's bold. That's bold. Can you imagine, Malcolm, I call you up at midnight and say, I got some friends that just came over. Do you have any frozen pizza? The point of this story isn't that. The point is the persistence of the person and the boldness of the person to approach. And sometimes, I bet you've prayed about something once, or maybe twice, or maybe three times, half-heartedly, and given up. You say, oh, well, God's not answering. The heart of this is persistence. You keep praying, you pray, you pray, you keep knocking till that person says, fine, here's your pizza. Did you want mushrooms? Here's the loaves. We have to be persistent with God in prayer. I think, in a way, God challenges our hearts that way, right? Is this really something they care about? Is this really something they're important? Because if it's really something important, you don't let it go. If you have to use the restroom and somebody's in it, you don't walk away and say, I'm never going to go again. You come back. I got to go. And you don't give up until you've gone. Because it's important. And I don't mean to belittle your prayer with your urinary system, okay? But sometimes what we say is important and what's really important are two different things. Do you love somebody and want to see them right with the Lord? Don't stop praying. You prayed for them once 5 years ago. That's not enough. Be persistent in prayer. Be consistent in your persistency in prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. You need to keep on praying. I want to look at a few other things here that can hinder our prayer. Relationships, right? Our position in a relationship can hinder our prayer. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, this one deals directly with the relationship with a husband and a wife. But I think can be applied to any relationship. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. How would that hinder your prayer? Not living with your wife in an understanding way. Well, do you know, when you're not understanding, that makes you something else. That makes you unreasonable. And when you're unreasonable, you're not thinking straight. Because it's all about you. Right? We get so bound up, it's all about me. I got to have my way. I know I'm right. Well, maybe you are. But that doesn't make it right to be unloving. That doesn't make it right to be unreasonable. My newlyweds are hugging each other right now. That's good. That's behind you. We got two sets of newlyweds here today. And our relations with others, whether it's in marriage or friendship, does affect how we interact with God, doesn't it? It sure does. Because if you're upset with somebody else, are you thinking about praying usually? Unless you're a super spiritual person, then you're like, okay, I know I'm mad, so I better go to the Lord. And that should be our reaction. But a lot of times it's, I'm upset and I'm just going to do this so I get my aggression out. I'm going to do this so I forget about it. Or I'm going to do this so I feel better. And that isn't where God calls us to be. God calls us to live at peace with all men as long as it's possible with us. That especially in our own household with our wives, husbands, children. And as we do that, then we will desire to pray for them, won't we? We don't want our prayers to be hindered. We don't want God to say, no. That's never happened to you guys, right? All right. So we've talked about a number of things so far. There's a couple more that I want to talk about with you to help you. And I hope, really, you're taking this seriously. So I don't want your prayers to be hindered. I want them to be heard. I want you to be blessed. So, this is the big one. Psalm chapter 66. Who here has ever been in a men's dorm? Anybody been in a men's dorm, like to visit or to live or anything? Okay, only a couple of you. Okay, how about have you ever been in a class of freshman guys after gym class? Okay. There's a certain pungence in the air when you walk into a men's dorm versus walking into an all-women's dorm. It is clearly different smell. You walk into a women's dorm, it smells like hairspray, body spray, and candles. You walk into a men's dorm, it smells like B.O. Right?
Better order,
that's right. And when you walk in there, it gives you this, whoo, right away. Right? Oh, I know where I am. I didn't make a wrong turn. Right? This has nothing to do with the sermon. I had a freshman roommate who had so many pairs of socks that the entire semester he didn't wash his socks. And he just put his socks in a hamper every day. And he was on the football team. Thank God he got thrown out of school. Not for that. So he didn't come back second semester. But boy, 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 there was an odor to that. Psalm 66, verse 18 says this. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Some people love their sin like they love the smell of dirty socks. Or at least they tolerate it. And they let it sit around. And they don't care if you walk in and you can smell it. It's there. And they cherish it. It's part of who they are. It's part of their identity. They love that more than they love clean. And a lot of people are like that with sin. They love their sin more than they love to be clean. But that stink surrounds, doesn't it? And God doesn't have a nose like you and I do, but he smells sin. David said, if I had cherished this, you would have not listened to me, right? If I had cherished my iniquity, my sin in my heart, the Lord would have not listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And the reason why is he gave it away and he said, I don't want to live like this. Forgive me. God will not hear your prayer if you're living in sin. If you cherish that. If that smell all around you is something that you'd rather have than cleanness. Now, those socks in my dorm floor, I could smell them clearly. I don't have the ability to smell your sin. But God does. So don't think you can fool him if you have covered up sin and you think he's going to bless you in prayer. You need to wash them socks. You need to go to the Lord and you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to seek his face. He will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive those who come to him to cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. But that is the biggest hinder to prayer, is sin. You can look at John chapter 3. You can look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. There's many, many other places you can look at. But it's clear God will not bless when there's conflict, when there's unforgiveness, when there's sin, when we have poor motives. And one more. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. When we have unbelief. Now, I know you might feel like you're beat up today. That was not my goal. My goal today is to help you clear your life of anything that's blocking the road between you and God. It shouldn't be there. And it will leave you ineffective and unproductive as a believer. At best. And at worst, if it festers and festers and festers, it will take you down the wrong path. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. When we go to God in prayer, we must believe not only in him, we have to believe that he'll answer the prayer that we're offering. You can't be like, you know, the kid who's trying to sell something for his school and goes up to somebody and goes, "You don't want one of these, do you?" You know, that doesn't work. There's no faith there. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we want to go full of faith, believing him, believing in him, and believing his ability to deliver what we're asking. And if we're asking something we don't believe he'll deliver, we shouldn't be asking it. Right? But we need to go to him in faith, not in unbelief. Unbelief is a killer. It is a killer of our prayer, and it will not be answered. And one more verse regarding that is James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to those without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we approach God, we do so in faith. Why does God say no? Well, sometimes God says no because he has his own purposes and we don't understand it. Sometimes when we think God says no, he's not saying no, he's saying not right now. Sometimes when God says no, it's because we either don't believe, we're not persistent, we're living in sin, we are unforgiving of others, we have conflict in our relationships, and we're not really praying at all. We're not seeking God's face. We're perhaps whining and complaining. And sometimes we don't approach his throne with any sort of reverence. Well, next week, we're going to try to wrap up our series on prayer with a lot of encouragement about being grateful, about being full of joy, about the expectations in prayer and God answering prayer. And so next week, I want you to come with stories. We're not going to share this corporately, but you can share in our prayer time, share in our fellowship time about how maybe you were helped this week about God clearing a roadblock to your prayer life. Take seriously what we looked at this morning, and I would guess that most of us have some area, one of those things that we can grow in our way we approach God, or perhaps in a relationship we have with somebody else that's fallen off and we need to offer forgiveness for. Perhaps it's our believing God will answer. Could be a number of things. My prayer for you and for me and for our church is that we believe God as we approach Him, and when we approach Him, we're ready to approach Him. Right? Amen? Let's pray. God, it is so good. It is so good to have fellowship with You. And to know because and through Jesus that You have heard and will answer our prayers. We pray together now, Lord, that the roadblocks we talked about this morning that would hinder us in relation with You would be cleared out of the way, and that You would prompt each one's heart as it needs it to listen. We pray to grow in Jesus Christ, to grow in our trust and our hope, grow in our love, grow in our concern for what You're concerned about, to grow in our knowledge of You so we understand even more what You care about, so we can pray that way, so we pray in Your will. We know it's Your will that men would be saved. And so, Lord, we pray for our neighbors, those that we come in contact with, Lord, that You would work through Your people with the message of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that You would use us to bring You glory and to reach people for the Christ. We pray, Lord, for clean hearts and feet that are ready for wherever You'd take us. And we ask Your blessing in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.